I'd like to read two passages of Scripture tonight, one found in the Old Testament and one found in the New. And the one in the Old Testament is in the book of Psalms in chapter 23. Psalm 23. And we'll just take time to read the psalm. Psalm 23. And the heading of the psalm is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now up to the New Testament, please, and the Gospel of John and chapter 10, please. The Gospel of John and chapter 10. Gospel of John and chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is the words of the Lord Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf come in and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And God will surely add a blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, I want to very simply this evening just consider in the moments that we have. The subject would be tonight is the shepherd and his sheep. We've been able to sing the hymns together, and we'll be able to read some of the scriptures concerning the shepherds in Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. But maybe the more subject this evening is really believers as sheep of the shepherd. Believers as sheep of the shepherd. Now, if we look through the Gospel of John, it's a wonderful book. It's one of my favorite books, if you're allowed to have favorite books. But again, it's as we look at the Gospel of John, we find so many amazing things found in it. We know, as we know, generally Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Matthew would tell us about how he was the king, but John here brings before us, he is the subject, the son of God. Now, if you look through the Gospel of John as a way of introduction, you'll see the number 7 just coming through every single time in these chapters as we go through the Gospel of John. Firstly, the number 7 is 7 sections, and I mean, we don't have time this evening to maybe break that up, but again, if you look through the Gospel of John, it simply breaks up into 7 sections. We also see, as we go through the Gospel of John, of 7 witnesses, of the all 7 witnesses that tell us of the Lord Jesus as the title of the Son of God. Those that declared him as the Son of God. We first read one in John the Baptist in the opening chapters of John. We read of Nathanael again in chapter 1. We read of Martha in chapter 11. We read of Peter and the blind man, and just to name a few, and they all witnessed, 7 of them in total, of who this man was, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then we have in these verses and these in the book as well, in the Gospel of John, we have the 7 signs, 4 that were individuals and 3 that were related to groups of people. And I suppose if we could go through them, I suppose if we really look through them, there were 7 before his death, and maybe there was 1 after his death as we consider John and chapter 21. But we read, do we not? We consider this afternoon with the children, the marriage of Cana, the first recorded miracle brought before us here in John, the water into wine. We read in chapter 5 of the chapter 4 of the nobleman's son, the cripple in chapter 5. That great event found in John chapter 6 of how he could feed those 5,000 people on 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. We read as we continue in chapter 6 of him walking on the water. The blind man in chapter 9. And eventually in chapter 11 we read of that man Lazarus who'd been dead 4 days. And that through that shouting, one of the shouts of the script, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lazarus come forth. And the one that had been dead 4 days came bound hand and foot from that. Great. But it's very special to notice that we think again of those miracles this evening. But John particularly brings us before us some special miracles, if I can say it that way. Because we read in Lazarus that he wasn't just dead, but he was dead 4 days. In John, he reminds us of a blind man, of not only just a blind man who had his sight restored, but a blind man from birth. And then we have the cripple. Not only a recent cripple, but being a cripple for 38 years. And through coming into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to walk again. So John would just bring before us some special miracles and signs, and particularly those 7 signs throughout the Gospel of John. But then I suppose we can't forget, can we not, the 7 I ams of the Gospel of John. We read, do we not, of I am the bread of life in John chapter 6. And we were just thinking this morning of how the subjects of, through the Gospel of John, we read of the subjects of water and the subjects of bread and the subjects of women that are brought before us in the Gospel of John. And it was suggested, as we discussed it this morning over breakfast, of water that would sustain life, bread that would sustain life too, and women that would bring forth life. And we thought, as we look through the scriptures, we read right through the first few chapters, do we not, of when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking by the water. We thought of chapter 2, of when the water was changing to wine. And we look through and we see that man at the pool of Siloam. And they're all related to the water. But what that was, we've considered already in John chapter 6, he could say, I am the bread of life. The one that could sustain us in spiritual life and in physical life. And then we see, do we not, in John chapter 8, that I am the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, is he not the light of this very dark world? It's a wonder, isn't it, as we come to the gospel meeting, and it's love to tell us that as we think of the wonderful, to think of the dark world that you and I live in, that we can shed one that has the light, the one that is the essence of light. I am the light of the world. And then we see, as we read this evening in John chapter 10, we read, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, and we'll consider that in a few moments' time. And then we read that I am the good shepherd, again in John chapter 10. And then we read, do we not, in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the life. Death is not the final word. You know, there are many religions in this world that death just it ends everything. There are those that you can go and visit in religious worlds, and the person died, and that's the end of the story. Well, firstly, we don't preach and teach a religion, but we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. But we know, do we not, if I am the resurrection, the life, he is the life. And John chapter 14 would remind us that, does it not? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a wonder, isn't it, this evening, as we consider the six I am. And finally, in John chapter 15, we read there, I am the true vine. He is the source. He is the source to fruitfulness in our life. Seven great I ams. But I want to focus, as we thought already in John chapter 10, I want to focus on the fourth I am in Scripture here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave of his life for the sheep. And particularly this evening, I want to consider our subject is believers as sheep of the shepherd. Now, we can look right through the Scriptures, and we see many times and many shepherds brought before us. And I think there are really seven that are really called out, and maybe we'll just mention a few here. You know, the first shepherd in Scriptures we read in John, if we could read in Genesis in chapter 4, was Abel. He was a keeper of his father's sheep. The first shepherd. Well, then we think of Jacob, do we not? A very resourceful shepherd. And then we can think of Moses. He was a returning shepherd. What did D.L. Moody tell us? He told us that famous quote of D.L. Moody. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. 40 years learning he was nobody. And 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. He was a great leader and a great shepherd of the people. He had his faults, but Scripture would remind us he was a great leader and a great shepherd of God's people. Then can we not forget David, can we not? That royal shepherd. The one that wrote the Psalm 23 this evening. That one that was a skillful shepherd. Remember, he had that sling. He was very, very quick to kill that Goliath with that sling. Five stones he picked and only one he used to kill Goliath. And yet we read through Scriptures that he fought off lions and bears. And we said he destroyed and killed Goliath. But these were great shepherds. But what does the Bible tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it tells us on three occasions, did it not, that are different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ as a shepherd. We read firstly, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the great shepherd. He's also in Hebrews in chapter 13. Then in Peter, he's called the chief shepherd. And then we read in John chapter 10 here that he is the good shepherd. And each one of those titles, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, would bring those titles before us and would just maybe just give us some aspects and some characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ as a shepherd. We could look back maybe as a past tense in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. The one that we look back on, and we see that one that died upon the cross, the one that saved us from our sin. That would remind us, is it not, of Psalm 22, the past. But then we think of the present in Hebrews in chapter 13. We read there, do we not? And I'll read the verse. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So if we look back as the good shepherd in the past, the present is the great shepherd, the one that can fit us, the one that can help us, the one that can perfect us in every good work, the one that is working in us and well-pleased so we can be well-pleasing in his sight. And then we think again in Peter. We think not only the past then. We not think of the present with relation to the great shepherd. But we can look forward to the chief shepherd. What it tells in 1 Peter 5, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And we can look back, can we not, into the book of Psalms, and chapter 22 would be the past. Psalm 23 we've read this evening as the present. And Psalm 24 as the future. And we could see again the Lord Jesus Christ as picture form in those three different aspects. But let's come down to John chapter 10 that we've got here this evening. Now, there's a lot to go on with this chapter. And my aim this evening is not to give you an expository of the chapter, but I really just want to use this as a bit of a backdrop. But let me just explain the background to the chapter 10. Basically, it was false shepherds of Israel were leading the people astray. That was basically what was happening. And we see that in the previous chapter, in chapter 9. And I was just looking through the scriptures, and I was just looking through the various times that a shepherd is mentioned. And I found a wonderful verse in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. And I think it just really summarizes the events leading up to chapter 10. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 50, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away in the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Now, I think that's a really good summary of the events leading up to chapter 10. Relation to the false shepherds of Israel, those that were religious leaders that should have known better. They should have been better and skillful shepherds, but they were leading the people astray and not following God's order. So here we are, as we bring in chapter 10, we see here, he introduces us here to the good shepherd, the true shepherd of the sheep, the one that was going to sort things out, the one that was going to die for the people, for the flock, the one that is the true Messiah, the one that who is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to just for the few moments that I have, I just want to consider six little points with relation to my subject this evening. My first point this evening, relation to us being sheep and the shepherd being the Lord Jesus Christ. My point one is that the sheep are saved by him. That's my first thought this evening. The sheep are saved by him. We see that, do we not, in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, sometimes we can consider that and we can maybe relate that and we can reel off that chapter and we can reel off that verse of the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. It may be a simple point to start with this evening, but isn't it a marvel? The one who is our Savior was a shepherd. And the one who is a shepherd became our Savior. That's what John chapter 10 really brings out, doesn't it? It really brings out the shepherd as the Savior and the Savior as the shepherd. The sheep are saved by him. It's a simple but profound statement. Well, let's just consider and take time just to consider it this evening. Of that one who gave his life for the sheep. The shepherd that was smitten. The blood that was shed. And through putting our faith in him, we can be saved for time and eternity. We read and we sang this evening, do we not, of that hymn. We'll sing of the shepherd that died for the sake of the flock. Our song then forever shall be of the shepherd who gave himself thus. No subject so glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. It's a wonder, isn't it, that we can come this evening and we're only really meeting here because of him. Because of that one that gave his life on the cross. You know, Luke chapter 15 would remind us of that parable of the lost sheep. And we read in, do we not, in the first few verses of that parable, that they go after that which was lost until he found it. And I was just wondering as I was thinking about this time, as we look around the room, how long did the shepherd look for us? Was it a few years? Is it a longer period? Maybe there's those in the gathering that he's still seeking. Maybe there's those in the gathering that still need to be saved. But we think again of that joyful verse in verse 6. As that parable would go forth and that one that went out to seek the sheep. And verse 6 would tell us, "I have found my sheep that was lost. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth," verse 7 would tell us. And what a joy it is this evening to consider the journey of that shepherd as he went to the cross. We think, we thought much this morning of his love, the love of the shepherd. We thought of the life of that one, and we read in verse 17, didn't we not, that I lay down my life that I may take it again. He had the power to lay it down. And he had power to take it again. Even Pilate marveled at that, did he not? As he stood, as the Lord Jesus Christ stood before him. And he thought he had the power over everything. And he had to be corrected and rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power to lay his life down and to take it again. We think again of the sufferings of the shepherd. We'll sing of the shepherd that died. We sang tonight, did we not? But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. So my first point this evening is just very simply to consider that one, the sheep, and the one who saved us. Let's not lose the joy of that. And we can say with Peter of old, in 1 Peter in chapter 2, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." But I thought, well, let's before we move on to our point two, let's just consider maybe the picture here. We've considered a little bit of the shepherd. But I was just thinking maybe we need to look at the sheep. And why does the Lord Jesus here maybe particularly pick out the sheep? Now, I know throughout Scripture, the sheep is the most prominent animal used in the Bible. It's used all through the Old, from Genesis right through to the book of Revelation. But I thought, well, why did it use dogs or horses or other animals? And then I started just to think about what sheep do. Now, you know me, I come from North Yorkshire, and there's many a field in North Yorkshire with sheep in. And I was brought up in that county with many sheep on the fields. But I just thought very simply, just running through these simple thoughts concerning sheep, that sheep are very much like us. Very much like us. First thing I thought, that sheep are clean animals. They are clean animals. The Bible tells us that. That's like us, isn't it? That we are cleansed, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've considered and we put our faith and trust in that good shepherd, the one that giveth his life for the sheep. And we're clean animals, not through any merit of our own, but through that precious blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. The sheep, you know, are harmless. You know, sometimes I walk the dog around the back of where we live, and there's some sheep in there. And even though if I walk through that field by myself, the sheep are quite timid and quite harmless. Apart from the rams, which are sometimes out, the sheep are very harmless. And maybe the idea is that we as Christians should be harmless and blameless too. Maybe those that would be frightened of being a Christian. Let's be like these sheep. Be harmless and blameless. But then I thought sheep tend to wander, don't they? So do we. Isaiah 53 would teach us that, does it not? All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all tend, just like sheep, to wander astray. It's a wonder, and we'll consider in a few moments, of that great shepherd that can keep us on the straight and narrow. Sheep flock together. Again, using that analogy of going out into the field, they're all spread out, but as soon as some danger comes, they all seem to club together. They all seem to come together and maybe just gang up on you as you walk through those fields. I think as believers and as sheep as well, we need to just gather together. We read, do we not, in Acts chapter 4, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which be possessed was his own, but they had all things common. As an assembly, there's unity in the assembly. And we need to keep it to the flock together. And we all have that individual responsibility to do that. Just like the sheep, when danger comes, we need to close ranks and look for the danger. But then I thought, well, sheep need a shepherd for protection, don't they? For daily guidance and food. As they move from one pasture to another. Don't we need that spiritual help as well? Don't we need that spiritual food and guidance and food from the shepherd? And then I thought, oh, well, shepherds need a shepherd for their life's journey. We can't go through this life on our own. If you look into the sheep, they will be lost, and they are lost, without any guidance and shepherd. And we would be, are we not, if we didn't have the word of God, if we didn't have the great shepherd and the chief shepherd and the good shepherd leading us, we would be a wayward crowd too. You know, sheep are very vulnerable without a shepherd. The world is a dangerous place. You know, as we think, I thought of Psalm 23 as David wrote that. He could have been on that mountainside writing that and just looking into the stars. But maybe during the day and at night, he would look for the very expanse of the wilderness round about. And in those days, there were lions and bears. It was a dangerous place. The sheep were vulnerable without the shepherd. And the Bible tells us, is it not? And we read it, and we could read it in 1 Peter in chapter 5. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There are wild animals out there. Even in Psalm 22, we read there, I think it was Wearsby that called it, the devil's zoo is found in Psalm 22 of those strong bulls of Bashan. And there are very many animals that are brought before us that encompass the Lord as he was on the cross. The sheep can be vulnerable. Very vulnerable without a shepherd. But sheep were used for sacrifices, weren't they? And Christians are willing and should be willing to yield themselves as sacrifices too, as living sacrifices, as Romans in chapter 12 would remind us. And yet Psalm 100 and verse 3 would tell us we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we are very much like sheep, are we not? As we look upon the animal kingdom. But let's move to our point two in the moments that we have left. The point two is the sheep are shepherded by him. And we read that in verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We've considered that we were once lost and we were wandering. But now we find ourselves safely in the fold, enclosed and sheltered by the beloved shepherd who cares for us every step of the world. We read, did we not, in verse 1 of that sheepfold. Well, what is the sheepfold? Well, the sheepfold in Bible times was very simply, but possibly a circle of stones around 4 or 5 feet high, or a square, or a rectangle. And it was an area that was outside the city. And the shepherds would come by day, and when they came tonight, they would find one of these sheepfolds, and they would just very simply put themselves into the sheepfold. And they would just place themselves as the door of that sheepfold. Now, there was no door like you and I would know. And this was always something that really got my head in a twist when I was a kid. I could never really understood when the Lord Jesus Christ could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we read that, do we not, in the verses that we read. And I couldn't quite get my head around, how can the Lord Jesus be a plank of wood with a door handle on it? Or how could he be something that we know as a door? Well, the idea is, as we said already, the sheepfold had a gap. It was either a circle or a square. And where there was a gap, the sheep would go in. And then the shepherd would just very simply lie and lay between the gap. And that was the idea, is the sheep couldn't get out. The wild animals couldn't get in. And that's what's meant, as we read, did we not? I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And that's the idea in there, that the good shepherd sits in that door, protecting the flock from the wild animals outside, but protecting the sheep so they don't wander away. We read in Isaiah 40, it reminds us that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So even in that compass, in that place of safety, the shepherd would be responsible for feeding the sheep. But I thought he not only shepherded the sheep by protecting them, he also shepherded them by carrying their troubles. You know, as we read in Luke in chapter 15, we read of that one that went out into the fields and the highways and the byways to find that lost sheep. And it's a wonderful little verse, isn't it not? When they came to verse 50, in Luke 15, in those verses, when they found that sheep, what did he do? He didn't carry it necessarily in his arms. He put the sheep on his shoulders. On his shoulders. You know, it's a wonderful, isn't it, to have a shepherd that shepherds us and takes all our burdens on his shoulders. And it's wonderful, isn't it not, that carry all our troubles. The one who can carry all our fears. The one that can carry all our worries, but the one also that can secure us in that place of the fold. Now, we didn't read this evening, but if you read further on in John chapter 10, you read there of that double security with relation to the sheep. We read of the shepherd's hands in verse 28 and verse 29. The shepherd's hands and the Father's hands. Listen to what it says. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. That's the Lord Jesus' hand, the shepherd's hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. It's a double security. Nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hands. Nobody can pluck us out of the Son's hand, the shepherd's hands. And it's a joyous evening, isn't it, that the shepherd, the sheep are shepherded by him, by protecting them, by feeding them, by guiding them, and by providing that security in the safe place of a fold. Let's move on to just maybe to point three as we just quickly run through these points. Point three is the sheep hear his voice. We read, do we not, in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. Now again, we've thought of the sheepfold, but now here brought before us is the sheep market. And I was looking this up and finding some details just to maybe explain what this sheep market was. Well, the idea is it was compounds outside of the city that when they came for sacrifices, that all the sheep and the shepherds would just put them all into these big compounds. So my sheep would go in the compound and somebody else's sheep would go in the compound. There was none of this marking like we have nowadays. If you look on the sheep nowadays with the farmers, they're either sprayed with yellow or blue or whatever. And that's how they mark them out. Not so in Bible times, they were all just put into one compound. And they heard the shepherd's voice. They knew. The sheep knew. They knew when their shepherd came. And the shepherd knew that when he shouted his sheep, only his sheep would come out of the compound. And we read, did we not? We read further down the chapter this evening about the strangers that would recognize the voice. But I want to challenge our own hearts this evening as we see ourselves in that crowd of people, and we are the shepherd's own. I wonder whether we hear his voice. I wonder whether we hear his voice. I suppose as we get very close to the shepherd and we can hear his voice, I think maybe here as we read the scriptures on a day-by-day basis, as we come and meditate upon the great shepherd and the good shepherd, as we come to meet him face to face here in a gathering of people, we can hear his voice. It's lovely, isn't it, as we read the scriptures. And I'm sure you're like me when you read scriptures, and maybe you've read the scriptures many a time, or even a particular passage you've read over and over and over again, and yet just one time you read it once more, something fresh comes from the page. Because you can hear the shepherd's voice. And then I thought of the compound, when they came every morning, and whatever they did, they shouted the sheep. The sheep of that particular shepherd would come out of that compound because they knew his voice. They reacted to the voice of the shepherd. And a very simple lesson this evening, for us all, I'm sure. Whether do we react, do we firstly listen to the shepherd's voice? But do we react to that shepherd's voice too? I wonder, it's a challenge to you, and it's a challenge to me as we consider, as we found ourselves in the world, as we found ourselves with other people, are our ears tuned to our shepherd, the one that gave his life for the sheep? So let's just quickly move on to point four. The sheep have names. The sheep have names. Verse 3 again would tell us he calleth his own sheep by name. Sometimes, you know, do we not, in this vast world, and we can be quite lonely. Sometimes we feel like a statistic or a particular number in this vast population. We could maybe found ourselves as an individual lost in a crowd. But it's a wonder, isn't it not, that the marvel in these chapters and these verses, and as we consider the great shepherd and the chief shepherd and the good shepherd, that one that created the whole of the universe is interested in you and interested in me. Not as a number, not necessarily as a person as such, but we're called by name. We read that, do we not? We read in verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. We all like to be called by our names, don't we? Maybe in a crowd, maybe with someone shout out, oi, you, or whatever. But if someone shouts your name, there's something about it that just makes you react to it. And we're known to the Lord Jesus Christ by our names. We read that, do we not, as we look through the scriptures? And again, I haven't got time this evening to consider it, but there are seven times, I think it is, in the scriptures where we hear the double calling of people's names. We could read of Genesis chapter 22. Remember when Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain and all that stuff happened, and eventually he was just going to kill his son. And what was the voice from heaven? Abraham, Abraham. God calling Abraham by name. And then we see, do we not, in 1 Samuel in chapter 3, we read there how they read there, God spoke and said, Samuel, Samuel, the double calling of Samuel. We read of Martha in Luke chapter 10, how she was gently and lightly rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could say, Martha, Martha. And then we read in Acts chapter 9 of Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There are seven of those. It's an interesting study in itself, the seven double callings. But they were all known by name. We all like to be called by names. And it's a joy, isn't it not? In Luke in chapter 10, it tells us that we can rejoice tonight because your names are written in heaven. One day, our names will be read out because our names are written in heaven. The sheep have names. He calleth his own by name. Point five, the sheep are led by him. We read in verse 3 again, he leadeth them out. Now, you know, like me, and you've probably seen it as well, that in our country, the shepherds are normally driving the sheep forward by sheepdogs or 4x4 vehicles or such things. In Bible times, that wasn't the case. The shepherd would lead from the front, and the sheep would follow. Now, I'm told that cattle can be driven, but sheep must be led. Cattle can be driven, but sheep must be led. In Bible times, the shepherd would lead the sheep out into the pastures, over the hills, through the valleys. And the same with our shepherd this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ, he leads us out. We are encouraged to follow by obeying his voice. We've considered that already. Following his words, following his ways through the scriptures and the patterns of scripture that are brought before us in the word of God. You know, he will not drive us. He will not drive us. We must be willing to be led. I wonder, it's a challenge again to my heart as we live our busy and difficult lives. Do we have that humility to be led by the shepherd? The one that can lead us and lead us out on a day-by-day basis. And that's a wonder, isn't it? That every morning as the shepherd came and he shouted his own and the shepherds and the sheep came out of the fold, the sheep knew. The sheep knew the shepherd. And they trusted the shepherd to lead them out. You know, Psalm 23, and that's probably the reason why I read it this evening. We read there in various places that the sheep would have been led. We read in Psalm 23 in verse 2, as we know, we read, are the green pastures, the pleasant times of life, and we're all, I'm sure, love the joy of being in those green pastures. Beside the still waters, when life is so calm and collective, and things are going well, he leads us beside the still waters. But then we read in verse 3, a path of righteousness. Maybe we've lost our way, or we've started to lose our way, and there's a time that needs to be steered and corrected into those paths of righteousness. And we read in verse 4, those dark valleys. We've all been through those dark valleys, haven't we? Those dark valleys, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But he leads us through the pastures. He leads us by the still waters. He leads us on the paths of righteousness. He leads us through the dark valleys and the shadow of death. But he leads us home. He leads us home. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One thing I learned from Psalm 23, there is no circumstance that is beyond the great shepherd of the sheep. Whatever life can throw at you and me, the Lord can lead us through it. The Lord can lead them out of that situation. Finally, in just point number 6, the sheep are guided by him. He goes before them. We've read that the shepherd that leads and guides us, and verse 4 reminds us he goeth before them. The Great Shepherd leads us through the lives of ups and downs. It leads us through the various challenges of life. And maybe this is a more strategic view, maybe here, of going through death itself. He leads us right through our life, through death, into heaven. One thing I did notice here, he goeth before them. The Lord's been there first. That's what I got from this little passage. The Lord's been there first. He's traveled this way before. He goes before us. He has been there first. As you think of that shepherd and the sheep, and as they were led out and steered by the shepherd, if the sheep had minds, they would know that the shepherd knows what he's doing. He's been there before. He'll lead us out into the pastures. He'll lead us out beside the still waters. He'll lead us through the dark valleys. And he'll lead us to a safe home and a safe sheepfold at the end of the day. So as my time has come to an end, as we consider these few simple thoughts, we can think, do we not, like David of old, as we consider that we are his sheep, are saved by him. We are his sheep, are shepherded by him. We are his sheep, can hear his voice. We are his sheep, have names, and we are led by him. We are his sheep, are guided by him. And what a future we have because of him. Because of the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. What a prospect we have here and now as he guides us and leads us and steers us through life. But what a prospect we have in the future. And we think, do we not, of, I think it was Ironside that said that the two sheepdogs mentioned in Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a joy this evening as we consider the great shepherd. The one who is the chief shepherd. The one that is a good shepherd. Will lead us safely home. And we will dwell with him forever and forever. Maybe a simple thought we've considered this evening. But I hope there might just be a little encouragement along our pilgrim pathway. As we look upon the great shepherd. As we look upon him as the sheep of his pasture. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, again, we just give